Let's begin with that data that we got out this morning. U.S. retail sales growing at a slower pace in November, rising just 0.3% from the previous month. That came in well below expectations. And that November print, a big moderation from October, when we saw the biggest increase since March at 1.8%. Let's bring in our first guest for the hour. We've got Rebecca Felton, Riverfront Investment Group senior market strategist. And Rebecca, of course, any data set that we've gotten really going to be parsed here as we look ahead to that Fed decision later this afternoon. How do you read the latest data on retail sales, and how much of this was really just about the pull forward we saw back in October?
Well, thank you so much for having me. And Akiko, I think you make a very good point about the pull forward, right? We had all been warned to shop ahead because of the congestion and the potential for disruptions in supply chains. So I think the fact that retail sales are up over 18% year over year back to pre-pandemic levels, that's what we should be focusing on as much as those month-to-month numbers. So we believe the consumer is still very healthy and still has a lot of firepower left.
Yeah, I guess maybe where some of the worries might start to come in here is anytime you see growth slowing, especially heading into the holiday shopping season, you got people maybe panicking about the strength of the consumer and whether or not prices going up might be starting to be a larger problem when it comes to shopping behavior. I mean, how much reality is there in terms of maybe some of those concerns?
Well, it is absolutely a reality, but at the same time, we've got folks shifting, you know, their purchasing from goods to services as well. So I think that both of those things are coming into play. But net net, an 18% year over year number back to pre-pandemic levels, I think that's still signs of a consumer that's healthy.
In terms of what we're anticipating this afternoon, I'm looking at the bond market right now. We've seen the 10-year down about 1.44. So much made about the yield curve flattening here ahead of this big decision. What are you anticipating in how significant a market reaction are we likely to see?
Well, I don't know if I can predict how significant a market reaction we're likely to see, because we saw how folks were put off by Chairman Powell's comments of a week or so ago in terms of the interpretation of him being more hawkish. But it couldn't have been more clearly communicated that we're headed towards tapering and the end of the bond buying program, that rates are going to go up next year. If you look at the headlines today, it's all over the place as to whether or not it's two times, three times. And I think that reading between the lines, as long as things are measured in terms of how they deliver that messaging, it shouldn't be too much of a surprise.
And as long as there isn't too much of a surprise there, I mean, how should investors maybe be allocating here? Looking back historically, we know growth stocks tend to get hit a little bit when you start to see rates increasing. I mean, what would be the playbook, I guess, for investors if they're trying to protect themselves this time?
Well, against the backdrop of what we've got going on from the standpoint of COVID and the uneven nature of how the economic recovery continues to go, albeit strong, we believe that it's best to be sort of barbell growth and value. So we're still leaning into technology, particularly in our longer horizon portfolios. We've got more of an overweight there with the preference to software and services, but we have that balanced by adding in industrial, specifically infrastructure. We have added back to our financial exposures as well.
Having said that, I can't help but look at your notes where you say we are pro-risk with a preference for U.S., specifically over developed international. I mean, pro-risk, we tend to think about these high growth names. You mentioned software, but I wonder how you're looking at the tech space overall at a time when it seems like investors are, you know, maybe it is a bit of profit taking, but also feeling a little jittery, especially with the anticipation of rate hikes come next year.
Well, it certainly has put a damper on many of the tech names. We know that the that we have seen the average stock, I think, sell off about 13% from its high, regardless of the sector. So there certainly are jitters in there. But we believe what we need to focus on right now with respect to technology is that consistency of both earnings and revenue growth. And we're willing to pay up for it, and we're willing to sit tight for the time being with that overweight exposure.
And lastly, too, I mean, there's been back and forth maybe about what Jay Powell's been, whose side he's on here. Of course, you know, investors might fluctuate on that depending on how their portfolio is performing. But when you look at it and maybe analyze maybe a shifting preference to, you know, we've got unemployment moving down in the right direction, inflation, though, obviously becoming a bit of a larger concern. How would you maybe weigh what he needs to say in this upcoming meeting here to kind of, I guess, flex how important and how dedicated they are to actually solving the inflation issue?
Well, I think he already set the tone for the fact that they are more attuned to the fact that inflation is no longer considered transitory. So they've already sort of cleared that hurdle. I don't know how much more at this juncture they need to do in terms of what they say. We would expect to see some changes in the language, but they've already sent a pretty clear message, I think, a couple weeks ago that inflation is now of concern to them and that we may see the tapering cycle sped up a little bit.
Rebecca Felton, Riverfront Investment Group Senior Market Strategist. Good to talk to you today. Appreciate the time.